breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
They say that breaking up is hard to do, and it was very hard for the Astros fans to watch Carlos Correa in that press conference in his new Minnesota Twins uniform. They're calling him C4, which, it's a little try too hard.
It's problematic, too. You know how many people have died while playing Call of Duty from C4?
What is C4?
C4 is an explosive.
Oh.
It's only in Call of Duty.
You'd get along great with my little brother because I have no idea what you're talking about.
I've been killed so many times by C4 in Call of Duty.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I would come home from high school and my little brother would be like, "Die, mother effer," on Call of Duty. Yeah.
Another version of C4, Vanessa. Did you ever take pre-workout?
Never played it. Never played it.
No. C4. Have you ever taken C4 pre-workout?
Oh, so it's a real thing.
C4 is legitimately like plastic explosives.
Never heard of it.
Oh, see, look at you. I appreciate you just being completely ignorant to
nope.
war. That's a real thing. Like, it blows people up.
I have no idea.
It's problematic.
Not a war gal. Not a war gal.
I'm about peace. Look at my Tom Petty shirt.
Yeah.
Here I am. Hippie Vanessa here.
Like, I can tell you.
War is bad.
5 things about Ukraine and Russia.
Hey,
about it.
She's got to take on, she doesn't talk politics, but she's got to take on Ukraine and Russia. It's bad.
I try to stay in the loop, but I have no idea what C4 is. But C4 in Minneapolis now is what they're calling Carlos Correa, former beloved Astros superstar that we were so sad to see walk away.
The pre-workout stuff, it's basically like just straight caffeine, and it like basically ensures that your body parts are going to shrivel by the time you're like 41.
Oh.
I don't mean just that. I mean like your veins, your large intestine, like everything is going to go terrible.
But it gets you hyped for the gym.
Oh, yeah. It's, essentially, it's going to make you feel like you just did, stimulants.
So is that why they're calling him C4?
It's because of the explosives.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, well, listen, we learn something new every single day. We do not shame people for things that they do not know on this show. We learn and we move on.
Okay, so Carlos Correa, they expect him to be explosive, and they're calling him C4.
That's why.
And according to Carlos Correa, he had told Marley Rivera from ESPN, and this is where the breakup gets who said what. He told Marley Rivera that the club did not make him any offers after the lockout. Carlos Correa, of course, is represented by superstar agent Scott Boras. So Carlos Correa says that the Astros basically didn't talk to him after the lockout and didn't make any more offers. James Click had a little bit of a different tune.
He did, in that he didn't want to show his hand. And I feel like his answers in an interview that he did with Brian McTaggart of MLB.com were the kind of answers that can only come when you have sat down in a room with, first off, Jim Crane, second off, someone
PR
who is
people.
A PR person, right, marketing managers, etc. Because they came up with this line that Click continued to repeat throughout the process. What was your pursuit of him like? Did you feel in it, as in the race for Correa, at the end? We were engaged throughout the process. It's always hard to know, you know. Are you in it or are you not in it in these types of negotiations? One phone call can change anything. We were engaged throughout the process. Right, just like the girl whose number I got on Saturday, who I texted that didn't respond to me. We were engaged throughout
the process.
Now, which
one was this? Because was this the one that was flirting with you who made you so mad?
No. This was someone who I was blocked, if you will, by the satanic girl.
Oh, that's right.
She blocked me in a mid-conversation with her. I was trying to like get her number at that point. So I got the girl's number eventually, but guess what? No response. But I was engaged throughout the process.
She was engaged throughout the process.
Yes, you know what? That's the excuse I'm going to tell myself. Yeah, sure. She ghosted me, but we were engaged throughout the process, just like the Astros with Correa. By the way, another answer of we were engaged throughout the process from James Click. Did you make him an offer post-lockout? I don't want to get into too many details about the back and forth of it, except to say we were engaged throughout the process.
Yeah, that's a very Nick Caserio type answer, right? Very general manager, not going to reveal anything, not going to. And in a way, look, he's doing his job. Like, give credit to James Click for keeping things on the down low. I think Jim Crane and the Astros know how unpopular of a decision this is. I think they are very aware. I don't think they're like the Texans in that sometimes we wonder if the Texans actually know how mad they're making people and if they actually know how controversial of a decision this is. The Astros are very aware. Jim Crane is a very smart man. And as much as I love Carlos Correa, I get it. He's a guy that gets injured. You don't want to give him a 10-year deal that's backloaded.
Yeah, 100%. We have a salty texter, by the way.
And okay.
Shame on you, texter. You can't say this about Carlos Correa. You know, we were talking about his nickname being C4.
Yeah.
Someone just texted in, more like C-whore, am I right? Come on.
What?
You can't do that. It's not Correa's fault.
I also don't understand how Correa is that thing.
It has to do with, you know, the signing of a contract elsewhere. He's just about the money. Well, first off, he should be. Second off, this is the Astros' fault, guys. Do not try to spin this like it was Correa's. Correa wanted to be back here. He said nothing bad about the Astros in that introductory press conference with the Twins. He was very curt when he was asked, hey, like, what happened at the end? He said, they didn't talk to me. He didn't make a big deal out of it. He could have.
So are you sure that he wanted to be back here? Do you strongly
absolutely.
Feel like he wanted to be back here?
If for that contract, absolutely. Absolutely. I do not buy for a second that the Astros were, quote, engaged throughout the process in a way that actually meant that they had a chance of bringing him back.
So if you're the Astros, why do you not just bring him back for this little stint that he does with Minneapolis? Is it because you don't want to spend that much money for a short amount of time when you know he'll do the same thing next season?
There's no rationale. You know, can you think of one?
That's the one that I can think of, is that they know that they either have to offer him this 10-year deal, massive deal that he wants, or that he'll take this basically quote-unquote three-year deal, but basically one-year stint where he's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, and maybe that sets a precedent for players whose contracts are expiring down the road.
I don't think they want players controlling having that control.
You're probably right, but then it's about, like, are you comfortable in your own manliness?
Right.
You know? I mean, do you have it downstairs? Or are you somebody that has such an ego that can be affected like that, that in matters of business, you're going to walk away from a guy who is clearly better than your alternative now at shortstop because, oh, well, I don't like Scott Boras. Oh, I don't like this player having team control. Who cares? It is about keeping this core intact as long as you possibly can. This pisses me off. It really does. And look, I don't think it's James Click's fault. I don't. I'm not going to blame James Click for this. I feel like James Click is saying exactly what he is being told to say. Quote, we were engaged throughout the process. I'm sure that he didn't think about that on his own. I'm sure that he was told, yeah, this is what we're going to say when we're asked any tough question about what happened, because you don't want to basically put yourself in a position where people can expose you as liars. But it does really seem like the Astros just stopped talking to Correa through the lockout and after the lockout, and that's unacceptable. There should have been at least one final conversation.
5702 says, I'd rather have Yordan and Tucker than Carlos Correa.
Oh, come on. Let's not do this spin zone BS like we saw Chiefs fans doing yesterday. Come on. Like, don't. Yes, it's great to have Yordan long term, sure. And it's great to have Tucker long term, sure. Those contracts, to my knowledge, are not contracts that you are worrying about in the here and now. And that contract is not going to prevent you from giving those guys contracts eventually in the here and now. I forget what years of arbitration both of those two are in, but I mean, that's down the road with those two.
Great point by somebody on Twitch. Boras won't have to share the commission on the next mega deal. True.
That's part of it.
He may have to share the commission because Carlos switched agents.
Another texter says, I like Carlos, but he is very streaky, up and down. Mm. I'll take streaky over Jeremy Peña.
Yeah. Proven, like, in big... And the other thing is that in the big moments in the ALDS and the ALCS, when everything is on the line,
yep,
he steps up and gets it done.
Right, exactly.
He's not streaky then. Now, during the regular season, does he have bouts where you're like, who the heck is this guy? Yes, but that's a long season. I think part of that comes with baseball.
I think Bregman's been streakier, and obviously we saw it in the World Series.
Right.
And, you know, you can blame whatever you want for it being the case this year, but I think, you know, Bregman's career started off, what, he was like over 38 or whatever? You know, it happens. But I feel like Correa is just scary in so many ways. And that lineup used to have zero weaknesses, and now it has a weakness. Peña might prove us wrong. I'm not expecting it to. And I don't want people out here spin-jobbing this to themselves. The Astros failed here. It's fine. It happens. This is more of a failure than letting George Springer walk. That was a lot of money because Springer gets hurt a lot himself, too. And Springer got hurt immediately his first year in Toronto.
And I don't think anybody ever thought Springer would come back. I think that Springer was more of a, he's probably out of here.
Because you got Kyle Tucker.
Right.
I mean, you were thinking to yourself, we have a replacement and Brantley's played really well for us. So we'll be fine in the outfield.
I respect Jim Crane having standards and having a mindset and having a MO, if you will, about how he does things and what he does. I don't know if this decision will be something that people respect in the long run. I think obviously more will be revealed, but I don't hate that Jim Crane has a hard line in the sand where he says, I'm not going to do a 10-year deal, and we want a solid roster, but certainly a big loss for the city, and we will see what happens as Carlos Correa is now C4?
Yeah, C4. C4.
I'm just now getting that. I had no idea why they kept calling him that.
You know, people always dump on folks for not knowing things. And it's like, oh, listen, we're all learning over the course of life. And I think it's cute that you didn't know what C4 is, but you learned. You learned something
new.
I don't know anything about music. So
that's
true.
Hey, Ukraine and Russia, am I right?
Yeah.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. The Astros, speaking of the Astros, were thought to maybe be a dynasty. There's an NFL team that's kind of on the edge of being that, too. How do they compare and contrast? That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, guys. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm at Sports Vanessa on social media. He is Paul Gallant at Gallant Says. Our producer, Noah, doing a great job behind the glass. I'll always tell you, you do a great job when you play Tom Petty. So if you play more Tom Petty,
she's
more
wearing
Brownie
a Tom
points.
Petty shirt right now.
Are
you going to back down in any of your takes today?
Or? That was such a dad joke.
Yeah.
Are you going to back down? Are you running down a dream as you chase your career? God help you. One thing.
Are
that,
you free falling? Is this segment free falling?
You cannot do any worse than you're doing right
Tom
now.
Petty.
One thing that I cannot stand is just the term dynasty and powerhouse and all of that being overused in sports.
I agree.
Now, sometimes it applies. Like, the Cowboys were a dynasty with Troy Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
But the
Steelers with Terry Bradshaw.
Right, absolutely. The
49ers with Joe Montana.
That the Chiefs started doing well, it became a discussion of dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been to two Super Bowls. They've won one of them. It's awesome. But I don't know that one win does it. Regardless, you came up with an interesting comparison that I think is a very astute observation after the trade of superstar Tyreek Hill.
This week, I mean, do they not look about as damn similar as far as cross-sport comparisons go? I'm talking about the Astros, who have been to 5 straight ALCS, 3 World Series in the last 5 years, winning only one of them. And I'm also talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, who have been to 4 straight AFC championships. They have been to 2 Super Bowls along the way. And they have won Super Bowl as well. And this week, both of those teams decided to move on from a key piece. The Astros let Correa walk. The Chiefs decided they did not want to pay Tyreek Hill, the biggest cheat code in the NFL, whatever he wants. They traded him to the Miami Dolphins for quite the haul. But a haul that's not going to get them somebody like Tyreek Hill in exchange. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about the Chiefs, just given where they were last year. So my question is, who set up better for the future? Is it the Astros or is it the Kansas City Chiefs?
I go with the Chiefs on this one because I think they have obviously the most important position in probably all of sports lockdown, which is they have a generational talent in a quarterback.
Yes.
The Astros don't have Springer or Correa. We do, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Justin Verlander or Lance McCullers Jr. Verlander hasn't pitched in a long time. Lance McCullers Jr. says he'll be back, but he also said he would be back for the World Series. So the Astros still have a lot of strong pieces. Their path is not very difficult in comparison to other teams' paths to playoff success.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have Altuve and some game changers. But I think the Chiefs have the most important piece in Patrick Mahomes, and they still have Travis Kelce.
What do you think, though, about where Kansas City was at a certain point last year? Do you feel like it was just a midseason slump? Everyone was freaking out. The Chiefs dynasty is over, which was so stupid.
Well, there was no dynasty to begin with, is my answer to that.
That is also true. They only won one title. You have to have at least two before we even start having that conversation. And honestly, I feel like if we're being real, 4 might be the way to go. And there's only 2 teams in NFL history that were able to do that over the course of a decade. It was the Steelers, and it was also the San Francisco 49ers. But anyway, moving away from the whole dynasty talk. The Chiefs in the middle of this season, people were talking about them like they were dead. Dead potentially forever. With good reason. Mahomes didn't look good. They weren't playing well. But down the stretch, they played well. It's a 17-game season. I think more and more we're realizing that, hey, NFL seasons are really long. You can't really make base judgments until the last couple of games of the year. Just take a look at where Indianapolis ended up, you know, with the 90% playoff probability to being out of the playoffs, looking like they might be the dark horse favorite in the AFC, too. Again, out of the playoffs. I'm sort of rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, you are right.
Sorry
now.
Sorry about and that. And oh, you hate to see the Colts miss the playoffs.
I'm sweating over here.
Anyway, sorry. Going back to that slump. Do you feel like that slump is something that should be considered going forward? Kansas City went through it, and now they don't have Tyreek Hill going forward. I think it is. I'm looking at that
stretch.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, but out of the two, I think Kansas City is in the stronger. I absolutely think there's cause. Let me make one thing clear. I think there's definitely cause for Kansas City. The AFC West specifically, but the AFC in general is crazy. So I absolutely think, but when you look at the Astros versus the Chiefs, who has more solid superstar players, we can't say that Lance McCullers Jr. is going to be 100% healthy. We certainly can't say Justin Verlander is going to look like he once did.
That's fair, but then look at the Chiefs roster. So, yes, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Travis Kelce, the two best in the game, arguably, at their respective positions, quarterback and tight end. But Juju Smith-Schuster, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, defensively, Tyrann Mathieu's not there anymore. Who is their best player on defense? Frank Clark, who they have overpaid? I think Kansas City's in an interesting spot right now, and I don't feel that way with the Astros. Like, I could see the Astros. There's no possibility I see next year of the Astros missing the playoffs.
Oh, I don't see that either.
I could see the Chiefs missing the playoffs next year.
You're not the only one. Former Jets linebacker Bart Scott said he does not think the Chiefs will make the playoffs in the 2022 season. Now, that sounds crazy, but listen to his argument. Bart Scott believes the Bengals, Broncos, Bills, and Colts will win their four divisions, which, of course, is respectively AFC North, South, East, and West. And then he thinks that the Browns, the Chargers, and the Ravens are going to be in that AFC wild card spot. That's not the craziest thing I've heard.
No, not at all. I mean, Kansas City's probably going to make the playoffs, but they're in a tough division, the toughest division in the NFL, one of the best just based off of the offseason we saw going into the year in NFL history. One of these teams will suck. That's just generally how it goes. There will be injuries. There will be something else that happens. One of the coaches might be all of a sudden not the same guy. But Kansas City right now is at the crossroads. Bones, 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 bones. They're at the crossroads, and they might not win another Super Bowl.
You know, I know that everybody wants to hear a white man from Boston in his 30s singing Bone Thugs and Harmony.
We were going to be a dynasty. Now we're not going to be a dynasty. Tyreek Hill's gone. What are we going to do?
We do have some breaking news.
Oh, we do?
Fox8.com just released an article that said
Fox 8.
The Fox 8 I-team has learned a second grand jury in another Texas county has convened to hear evidence against Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. The grand jury met Wednesday to hear evidence in the case. The district attorney in that county declined to confirm the information.
Whoa.
He did say more information will be released today. The attorney for Watson, which of course is Rusty Hardin, tells the I-team of Fox 8 that the complaint was filed by one of the women involved in the civil cases. So, we will see.
That is interesting, and I remember listening to Jenny Vrentis, who was on Mina Kimes' podcast, talking about that article that she wrote for Sports Illustrated, and I think she did mention that there was somebody that had been perhaps outside of Harris County or something like that. So I'm guessing that in this situation, there's a chance that there could be another criminal charge applied. But, you know, listening to that podcast, and I know some people are like, well, I mean, you know, there's no criminal charges. Well, they didn't have much of a case. You're not allowed to, you know, record what happens in a massage parlor. You're not.
Right.
It's like,
it's actually illegal.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's
so,
like Peeping Tom type stuff.
So, right. I mean, that's why, you know, I wonder why, you know, things maybe got thrown out with Bob Kraft and what happened with him in Florida, because there was you know, cameras going on. I think they illegally installed a camera or something like that, and they didn't get a warrant to do it. I forget what the specifics are, but look, I'm not a lawyer, but I am curious on that front if that means that criminal charges can still be applied. I got to say, though, what county is this from, Vanessa?
This says the Fox 8 article. Now, Fox 8 is in Cleveland, but obviously they're covering this because Deshaun Watson is their new quarterback. It just says another Texas county.
Right. Okay. So that's all I need to know. Another Texas county. It's not Harris County, I'm assuming. I'm assuming that this is going to be somewhere that's
it's
in the immediate
Harris,
vicinity,
yeah.
though. So I hate to say this, but I mean, who do you trust? The local county or Rusty Harden? You know, so I don't think this is going to make much of a difference.
I don't think it is either. I think anything and everything Deshaun Watson, it's Cleveland's problem now in a way, but all of these cases, most of them happen here. Most of these massages happen here. So it's still relevant that it is Harris County. All right. We would love to know your thoughts on this Chiefs versus Astros and the discussions of the dynasty. We've also talked about the AFC South, Paul, just being one of the weaker parts of the AFC. AFC South, of course, Titans, Colts, Jags, and...
You forgot the team that is here?
The Texans. I know. I thought that I had said the Texans. It's like the Texans were in my mind,
no,
but
that's
I realized
fine.
I had said the Jags.
I was listening to John and Lance this morning on the bench, and they were talking about like teams that could make the playoffs this season, and they were talking about teams in the AFC East, and I was shaking my fist at the radio. Say the Patriots! I didn't forget the Patriots! And I didn't say the Patriots.
But when you look at the fact that out of the entire AFC, division-wise, that's probably the easiest path to the playoffs. I'm interested to see what the Jags can do. And what Doug Peterson can do with Trevor Lawrence. I am very intrigued to see Davis Mills, his second year of development, what they can do with some of the pieces that they've brought in to surround Davis in his second season. But I think we could agree that as far as the AFC South race goes, it's probably the Titans and the Colts.
Yeah.
Who do you think has the easier path to the AFC South victory now that we know that it will be Matt Ryan under center for the Colts? And then, of course, Ryan Tannehill with the Titans.
There are times where I wonder if I'm too unfair with Ryan Tannehill because I don't think he's bad. I definitely in the past used to think he was bad when he was in Miami. He's above average, but he's clearly what's holding Tennessee back. I don't know yet that Matt Ryan is holding Indianapolis back. I'm not that optimistic about Matt Ryan, but...
He's a Band-Aid.
He is a fancy Band-Aid, though, because if Carson Wentz was a Band-Aid and Phillip Rivers were Band-Aids, Phillip Rivers is like the fraying old Band-Aid that, you know, doesn't necessarily have the same stick that it used to. And Carson Wentz is like a used Band-Aid, you know? It's got a little blood on it.
It was useless, that never should have bought in for... Been brought in the first place.
Listen, you're bleeding. You found it on the floor. It's fine. Right. You don't. Who knows?
I think
it stop the bleeding.
For me, it's definitely the Colts. The exception would be if Derrick Henry goes back to being vintage Derrick Henry, that's making the big plays at the right time and carrying that offense.
I'm coming off a foot injury, and that is the biggest factor here. Tennessee is a tough team, though. I'll give them credit on that front. And I think Indianapolis showed last year they're not. They choked down the stretch. And I think what Rakia Sin, who got traded, the cornerback, to the Raiders, said about them down the stretch, is like, yeah, we weren't on our A game. We stopped going 100%. I mean, that might be a learning experience for Indianapolis, but that was never the case for the Titans. They kept plugging along despite an unbelievable amount of injuries last year. So that element might be the great equalizer, even if the Colts definitely have a better quarterback right now.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of some of these free agency and trade moves, who is the bigger game changer in the NFL? We're going to go position by position, and we definitely want your input on this. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
There have been so many moves made this offseason. People that have covered the NFL for decades have said it's one of the craziest they've ever seen. From, of course, Deshaun Watson here going to Cleveland, Russell Wilson, and then Devontae Adams unexpectedly skipping town after Aaron Rodgers had re-signed and heading to Las Vegas. It's been a crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah, it really has been. And I just want to get things started at this point, too. It's and move past this. Like, how do you move on? What's the best way for you to forget something traumatic that may have just happened?
Go to therapy, work through it.
Okay.
And then hope for a better future. There you go.
So, I mean, Jeremy Pena is a rebound.
He is. Jeremy Pena is the ultimate rebound.
The ultimate rebound.
Davis Mills is the younger girlfriend.
Davis Mills is the younger girlfriend.
Is the younger girlfriend.
I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better, right? I mean, Davis Mills, as far as rebounds from Deshaun Watson, that's...
Speaking of age only, the skill set is TBD.
Oh, the skill set.
Yeah.
Well, hang on, though. I mean, listen, I'm shallow.
You are shallow.
So the younger girlfriend, I'm like, let's go.
Let's not kid yourself. You talk to women of all ages and...
No, it's just a number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You know, yeah.
Someone else said that once, and he is.
The first, I'm not going to share this story.
Said that.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. No. Jesus. No, you can't. No, you take that
I know.
Back.
I
oh,
will.
My God. Holy crap.
You admitted that you didn't know music, so.
Yeah, well, I know that story. Good God.
So as far as game changers, Paul, in the NFL, there's a lot of questions about who's actually going to make what impact. And this conversation kind of heated up. Tyreek Hill yesterday traded from the Kansas City Chiefs to the Miami Dolphins. He's going to be working, of course, with Tua Tagovailoa. He is a new offensive coordinator in Frank Smith, new head coach in Mike McDaniel. So we're going to play a little game of who's going to be the bigger game changer in the NFL for these positions. Let's start out with Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams. Who is going to make the biggest immediate impact on their teams?
Got to be Adams.
Yeah.
And I say it even though I love watching Hill play football, nothing else. Even though I think that he is unstoppable, unguardable, he now has either Tua Tagovailoa, who I am selling all my stock on as I speak, and the alternative is Teddy Bridgewater for him at quarterback. You're going from Patrick Mahomes to that. It's just different. Mahomes is amazing at extending plays. Mahomes can throw the ball on to any part of the field. Tyreek Hill, extending plays, he's... You know, 5-6 seconds pass. Like, sorry, you're going to be 20 yards away from the guy by that point. So, in that situation, you have a worst version of Tyreek Hill, and with Davante Adams, you have his best friend throwing him the ball in Derek Carr.
I'm going with Davante Adams as well. He's reunited with his college sweetheart, Derek Carr. They've been posting about how excited they are to be back together. He's back home in Vegas.
You're going to be like Murtaugh and Riggs.
Adams, yeah, Matt Adams is more of a route runner. Tyreek Hill, we know how quick he is. I mean, the speed on that guy is unbelievable. But Tyreek Hill had Mahomes, and now, as you mentioned, he'll have Tua. So I still look for Tyreek to make big plays. But as far as strategy goes, Davante Adams, I think, played it right. We also saw so many moments last year where Derek Carr just needed a weapon. He
yep.
needed somebody to throw it to. And mm-hmm. I mean, that game, I was at that game in Indianapolis that they won against Indy. They ended up beating Indy, and I think they could have beat him by a lot more if he had some really good weapons. So I go with Davante Adams, too. Let's localize it a little bit. Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, who makes the most immediate impact? And I will say this. For argument's sake, we're not taking a suspension into consideration, because if there's mm-hmm. a suspension, the obvious answer is that Russell Wilson makes the biggest impact on the Broncos.
Yeah.
But let's pretend there's no suspension.
Okay.
Who makes the bigger impact?
I think that it's going to be almost two polar opposites this season. I think that the Broncos are going to come out. They're going to kill everybody the first couple of games. Russ is going to look amazing. And as the season progresses, I think that just given what I've seen from Russell Wilson the last couple of years, he will look worse by the end of the season. Where with Cleveland, I think it's going to be a slow burn and to the end. I suspension or no suspension, I feel like the Browns will finish the year very strong. So, I guess immediate impact, if we're just talking about the totality of this coming year, yeah, I'm gonna say the Deshaun Watson to the Broncos. Excuse me, Deshaun Watson to the Browns. The Broncos-Browns, it's a little confusing.
Happened? Yeah.
A little too much BRO going on. Too much
bro. I go with Deshaun Watson as well. We're on the same page on this one, too, because Deshaun Watson, I just think we saw what he was able to do when he had some really strong weapons with DeAndre Hopkins, and he's going to be playing with, you know, we'll see what Amari Cooper, can he, you know, trend upward after being traded from the Cowboys. So I go with Watson on that one. Matt Ryan, who's now in Indianapolis, or Carson Wentz, who is now with the Commanders. Who has the chance to make the biggest impact? I think you know where I'm going to stand on this one. I go with Matt Ryan.
I just compared Carson Wentz to a used Band-Aid, so
you
I think
did.
I think I'm also going to say Matt Ryan.
I think Matt Ryan still has gas left in the tank. He's going to be playing with one of the best defenses he's ever played with in his entire 14, now 15-year career.
Mm-hmm.
So I go with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that one's. This is the easiest one of all the ones that we've done before. I think Watson versus Wilson, that's a difficult one. But this one, yeah. I mean, if you're picking Carson Wentz, like, I want to know what drugs you're on and where you found them.
Yeah.
To sample.
I wonder if they were injected with truth serum, how excited Ron Rivera and offensive coordinator Scott Turner actually are with Carson Wentz.
They've been spinning it as
but
if
they've
they
been,
are.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Rivera actually flat
Rivera's
out
an
said
OBS guy.
He is, and he said that he's heard opposite reports from the Colts that were true. He's actually talked to people that liked Carson Wentz, that liked his leadership, that liked where he stood on things, so we will see.
Well, look, here's the thing with Wentz. Wentz is very religious, and there is a thought that his his faith is a priority to him as a quarterback, which is a weird conversation to step into, right? I mean, what's right and what's wrong? Like, clearly for some, faith is the most important thing. I wish I still had faith, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, wow, this is dark.
We're being honest with people. They feel like that was too much of a priority for him. So it's not to say that Wentz is like a bad guy, but I think Wentz perhaps sees his post-football career and his faith as more important than what he does on a football field. And you know what? All the power in the world to him, but if you're trying to build a championship team, yeah, you want to have a guy who's a little bit more focused. And I think that's why things are so weird with Wentz. It's that dynamic. Because I've heard that dynamic discussed about his time in Philadelphia as well. He's like a little pushy with trying to get other people to be as religious as him.
He is, and then he's not a vocal leader. And then ultimately, if you're not winning, like if you're winning, nothing else matters. If Carson Wentz is winning, then people are talking about how beneficial his faith is and how him being a quiet leader is strong.
Oh, no doubt.
But in those big moments, he doesn't step up. He doesn't get it done. And so I go with Matt Ryan on that one. Von Miller to the Bills or Chandler Jones to the Raiders? Here's my hang up on this one. I think the Raiders obviously got a lot better when they brought in Chandler Jones. I think that they had a true deficiency there. But the Bills are so close. Bringing in Von Miller, does that put them over the edge in like that game against the Chiefs?
What Von Miller are you getting?
Right.
Von Miller with the Broncos was not the Von Miller we remembered, but Von Miller with the Rams was Von Miller of old. And yeah, as far as finishing touches, I guess it's sort of dependent, Vanessa, on the quarterback situation. And I mean, who do you buy into more? Do you buy into Chandler Jones? Excuse me, not Chandler Jones. Do you buy into Derek Carr or Josh Allen? But I'm going to say Chandler Jones, partially because I'm biased because he went to Syracuse. But the other part is because when you look at the AFC West, look at all the quarterbacks that are there. I mean, you need Chandler Jones. You need him for Russell Wilson. And by the way, I saw him once sack Russell Wilson five times in a game. Five times. Seahawks, Cardinals, last game, I think, of the 2019 season, if I'm not mistaken. He was terrifying. Terrifying in that game. And some poor schlep that the Seahawks were putting in at tackle because Dwayne Brown was hurt, just getting absolutely abused that whole game. You also have in that division Justin Herbert. You have so many good quarterbacks in that division. And the Raiders, who do not have they have the worst quarterback in that division. They need a guy like this to terrify all those other quarterbacks. So, yeah, I think it's Chandler Jones.
I go with Von Miller to the Bills. I think that he can be that missing piece. I think he had a strong year, obviously, in L.A. And Von Miller, by the way, just side note, has been able to pull off just going to great teams and still getting a lot of money. That combination is very unique.
I don't think, and I could be wrong on this, but I feel like I saw this online, so it must be true.
Mm.
I think that he is possibly, should he win with Buffalo, who I would have at number one, and we both agreed on this. We have them number one on our power rankings going into the year. I think he would be the first player to win a Super Bowl with three different teams.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, that's incredible.
And he won an MVP, right, with the Broncos.
Is he the greatest Aggie of all time?
He could be the greatest Aggie of all time.
I mean, Myles Garrett definitely has a lot of potential, and all of a sudden, you know, now we're seeing Mike Evans, too, I guess, is sort of in that conversation. But yeah, over the last, like, I don't know, like 5-10 years, we're seeing all sorts of amazing Aggies go from college up to the NFL. He's got to be the best Aggie of all time, though. If I'm building a statue outside of Kyle Field, it's Von Miller.
Amari Cooper to the Browns or Allen Robinson to the Rams? I think there's a reason the Cowboys didn't get much for Cooper. They just got a fifth-round pick. I think to a certain extent, he has a lot to prove. Robinson is heading to the Super Bowl champ, so he's going to be competing for touches, but I think he can make an immediate impact. So I go with Allen Robinson to the Rams on who can make a bigger impact immediately.
I can't believe they got him. I hate the Rams. I really do. I can't stand anything about them. They circumvent the salary cap. Look, I'm not for paying taxes, but I feel like the IRS should swoop in with less need. I have no idea, Vanessa, how they've been able to make all of these rosters work over the last couple of seasons, because they are Exhibit A as to why I do not know that there actually is that hard of a salary cap in the NFL. Cooper will be key, though, because, I mean, the Browns, they got rid of both of their best targets. They got rid of Odell Beckham Jr. They got rid of Jarvis Landry. So now you go into this year, I think there's a chance Amari Cooper's your number one with Deshaun Watson. where with the Rams, you have Cooper Kupp.
So you go with
I'm going to go with Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
Because Cooper Kupp, I mean, Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp. He's as things stand right now, the best receiver in the NFL.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to put a bow on a Thursday. And ladies, why you should not be scared to slide in the DMs. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Thursday, guys. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's Paul Gallant at Gallant Says.
Yo.
Our producer is Noah. He's done a great job today. Updating you real quick on that news that broke in Cleveland with the Fox station there. The Fox investigation team has learned a second grand jury in another Texas county has convened to hear evidence against quarterback Deshaun Watson. So Kimberly Martin, who covers the Browns for ESPN, said she's told the Browns were aware of this second grand jury. Watson's attorney, Rusty Harden, has said that the complaint was filed by one of the women involved in the civil cases. Quote, it's not a new complaint. So another grand jury in not Harris County. I think anytime you hear grand jury, it sounds serious, but it sounds like the Browns were not very worried about this, considering the fact that they still signed him.
Yeah. I don't think, though, that this is going to lead to anything serious, and no legal expert, so forgive me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, we don't pretend to be.
Rusty Harden versus whatever people would be perhaps filing criminal charges, leading a criminal case in said county. No offense to said county. Rusty Harden is going to beat them. You know, Harris County, I feel like, okay, well, maybe there's, you know, more resources available. I'm having a hard time envisioning some smaller county and whatever resources that they might have, whatever evidence that they might have, which I don't see how they can actually get any evidence that would allow them to prosecute criminally beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting to note this, that it's not over for Deshaun and there might be more going forward. But yeah, I don't think anything comes of it as far as criminal charges against Deshaun Watson. It's maybe just the groundwork before another civil case.
The press conference, there's supposed to be a press conference. Deshaun Watson is supposed to meet formally with the Cleveland media later this week or next week. So I imagine there's going to be a lot of questions. We have not heard from Deshaun Watson. I mean, we haven't had media availability with Deshaun Watson in a year and a half. Does that sound about right?
Right. I mean, there was just that one time where he was walking into practice where he got all annoyed.
Ooh. When are you guys filming? It's the same old bleep.
Yeah, he was not happy about that. Meanwhile, the Bengals got a lot better this offseason. We knew the one thing that they really needed to do was protect Joe Burrow. Ed Ogeron had said that when he came on our show, and they did that. They brought in Lyle Collins. They brought in Teddy Karras. Shout out to Terre Haute, Indiana. And they bought in Alex Kappa, right?
Yes.
So we had heard the reports that in order to seal the deal with all those guys, that Joe Burrow and his girlfriend had the guys and his wives over for dinner in his Cincinnati home,
mm-hmm,
and was able to convince them to come to Cincinnati.
And here's how Burrow really sealed the deal.
Really?
He served crackers. I wonder what kind of crackers. Graham crackers? Were they having s'mores? And cupcakes after dinner.
That's cute.
Cute. Vanessa, cupcakes are sensual. Cupcakes,
what,
are, in my opinion, the best snack that involves cake that there is. Because I love cake, but I always feel like I'm super full after cake. Where a cupcake, I can eat multiple of them and I don't feel guilty after the fact because they're small and tiny.
Do you remember on The Office when Kevin is like, a mini cupcake, which is a mini version of something that's already a mini cake? What's wrong with you people?
Uh-huh.
So where do you stand on mini cupcakes? Love
crack.
Are you the faces that Paul is making right now? Tell me how you. So you think that that's like an aphrodisiac?
Listen, if someone took you out on a date, Vanessa, you say you like eating, and they're saying, "Hey, let's go out for cupcakes, babe." I mean, is that not a great first date idea?
Would that seal the deal? I love cupcakes, but cupcakes aren't like a sexy food.
To me, they are.
It's not like chocolate-covered strawberries or wine.
Give it to me, baby.
It's like you eat them in your fourth-grade birthday party class.
Crave cupcakes. Great. In town.
Yeah, very good.
Sprinkles, Houston.
But apparently it worked. as all of those men not only are going to the Bengals, but seem very excited to protect Joe Burrow, Lyle Collins saying, I'm in town, I'm your new bodyguard.
Not to be fatsist, but if you're going to try to bring an offensive lineman into the mix, hey, want a cupcake?
That's a good point. Hey. Offensive linemen like to eat.
Hey, you know, I know you're trying to keep that calorie count up high in the off season. Here's a cupcake for you. Ooh, here's another cupcake for you, Lyle. Want to sign with the Bengals? Want to protect my blind side?
I mean, I don't think it needs that much convincing when they went to a Super Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably interesting.
You protect my butt for me?
That's okay. St. Peter's has made a splash in the tournament. Every year we have one of these Cinderella stories that is just so fun to watch. And it's fun to learn about the program and compare the fact that their entire athletic budget, could not pay a fourth of John Calipari's salary, yet they beat Kentucky. So I'm always and forever going to love St. Peter's for that. But St. Peter's has been through some mess.
Yes. Someone by the name of Ryan Patrick put together a thread on Twitter of all the crap that St. Peter's has dealt with over the years. Number one, their players could not blast music during team lifts because the weight room bordered on philosophy classes. So they had to be quiet in the weight room. I'm imagining that there would be like a lunk alarm like you see at Planet Fitness if you drop the weights.
No lunks.
Because there was philosophy class next door. And philosophy class, pretty boring. There was one where a game was canceled because of a leak in the roof, and the stadium was packed, but they had to cancel it because there was a leak in the roof. Their offices routinely flooded. There were feral cats in student dorms.
That's crazy.
Where the players live. Actually, that sounds kind of cool. I mean,
yeah, you're a cat guy.
Middle-aged university staff was also in the student dorms, so that's kind of weird. on multiple occasions, they had to come to work dressed for a ski trip because heat in the building was broken. There was a game against Loyola where there was no hot water and the visiting team had to leave without taking a shower. God, can you imagine being on a plane with a bunch of sweaty basketball players?
That would smell awful. I had to sit next to somebody disgusting on a plane a couple weeks ago, and it was the worst experience flying I've ever had.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I didn't go Karen, but it was very close.
I had my sophomore year roommate in college was named Curtis, and it was not a roommate I wanted. The person I thought was going to be my roommate, he transferred during the summer. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be in this room ever. But this guy, he like never washed any of his clothes.
No, that's disgusting.
And he just put them in a pile in his corner. So he would get mad at me when I opened the window because he did not like to be cold.
I'm big on hygiene. And so I would have just told him he stunk.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
We almost fought each other. I'm telling you, like one night I would always open the window. It was on my side of the room and he would close it in the middle of the night and I would just open it as soon as he went back to bed. So he said to me, Paul, I've talked to you about this one way. Like, I'd be cold. I've talked to you about it another way. You don't want it to go a third way. And I'm like, you're fat. Like, please fight. and we had to get separated by our RAs, but he smelled so bad. Like, he smelled like a dead animal. It was awful. Every single day.
But Brooks Cabina from the Houston Chronicle tweeting that he just spoke with attorney Tony Busby, who of course represents the women with the 22 civil cases against quarterback Deshaun Watson. Tony Busby apparently confirmed to Brooks Cabina of the Houston Chronicle that one of the women he represents filed a police complaint that was heard by a Brazoria County grand jury yesterday. That grand jury is currently deliberating whether to indict Deshaun Watson, and Busby expects a decision today or tomorrow. So now we're supposed to find out if Deshaun Watson is indicted by a second grand jury. And we're also supposed to have media availability with him in Cleveland. Something tells me that media availability will be delayed.
Yeah, I think so. And they're going to keep delaying it as long as they possibly can. Because what do you do?
What do you say? Yeah.
There's nothing to say.
Hey, here's our new quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Regardless of where you stand on all things Deshaun Watson, it's awkward to have a media availability with somebody that might be indicted.
The smart play to be, if you don't want to face tough questions in what will likely be a very televised press conference, is to announce it on extremely short notice. And with that short notice, to have essentially a situation that you can control as best you can. But if they're going to do an honest press conference where you have Jimmy Haslam, where you have Deshaun Watson, and where you have Browns management, there will only be one kind of question asked if they give enough of a heads up about it. And we're not just talking about sports reporters. We will see actual news reporters come into this. Because, look, whether you like it or hate it, I think one thing that we've noticed over the last couple of years, if you've been following politics, is that reporters love to flex by asking questions at press conferences.
Especially now in the era of Zoom.
Right. And I think in this situation, you will see a ton of people asking as many uncomfortable questions as they possibly can.
Ladies, don't be afraid to slide in the DMs. Travis Kelce's girlfriend, Kayla, says they were insta-flirting, but he never took the leap to message her. She finally slid in the DMs. She said, "What's up, Killa Trav? They've been together ever since three years.
Your shot.
Shoot your shot.
I'm a big believer in this. If I see someone on the, I'm not on the dating apps right now, but if I see someone's Instagram on the dating apps and I'm not convinced that I'm going to match with that person, screenshot, find the account, slide into the DMs.
So you are fine with women sliding into your DMs?
Absolutely. I'm fine with anybody sliding into anybody's DMs. Just don't be a freaking weirdo, right? Like, don't be creepy. Don't have a terrible one-liner. Say something funny.
You know what I've learned from being on dating apps in Texas? There's a lot of guys with fish.
Oh, yeah. You got to hold the fish out.
A lot of guys with fish.
I can catch a fish.
Yeah.
I can provide for you.
All right. That's it for Vanessa and Gallant. The Killer Bees are up next. Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. Have a great day, guys.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.